Please grab your coffee, tea, or milk and come join us for Monday Morning Conversation with Pastor Jay and T. Drake. 6 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Let's get the conversation started.
Okay. Hello, this is Pastor Jay and T. Drake with our Monday Morning Conversation.
Good morning,
T.
Good morning. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year to everyone. We're glad to be back. We pray that this new year is going to be a great year for you as we continue to learn how to suffer well, but also realize that the sufferings that we may go through builds our character, our endurance, and helps us become patient. So, T, did you have a good Christmas and a good New Year?
Yes, I was ill through it, but you know, made it through.
Okay, well, good. So, we are still on cuffing season. We are round the bend. You know what I'm saying? We have round the bend on cuffing season, and we only have one more holiday left in February. And we pray that some of you have made it through and safely. And even though you might be nibbled on by a shark, you haven't been cuffed to that shark and made decisions that you cannot countermand, counteract, or walk away from for the rest of your life. Again, we are not telling you not to date, not to have fun, not to enjoy this hunting season, but to be careful and wear your orange vest so you won't get shot. Amen. So, T, do we have any sponsors today?
Oh, we do have a sponsor.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and pray.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this conversation. Lord, continue to bless us as we move forward in our fourth year of podcasting and broadcasting on these internet streets. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Go ahead, T. I'm sorry.
Amen. No, you're okay. So today's sponsor is Stick Teas, and the flavor is green tea.
Stick Teas. Is it actually a tea?
It's a tea, but it comes in a stick. So it's the green tea and everything's in the stick, and you just mix it up in your water. And it's like 3 to 5 seconds. You don't need a spoon or anything. And after you're done, you throw it away and you just, you know, spice up your tea how you want, and voila.
Okay. Great. One day we're going to get all that fancy stuff here in the Midwest. Amen. We just get tea bags and do what we do, but okay. All right, T, we were talking about cuffing season, and we were having a great, conversation, a pre-show conversation that we pray that transfers over into the conversation that we put before the people. So, T, what are we talking about today?
Okay, so we are going courting versus dating, and just like abstinence, celibacy, they might be interchangeable, but they are different. So that's what we're going to be talking about today as we go forth in this conversation.
All right. Do we have definitions of courting versus dating? Do you have some?
Yes. I'm sure you can put your own spin on it, Pastor Jay. So what I am going to do is just put what I found. There's one from Wikipedia and then there's another one. And then I guess you can generalize how the difference is. But the definition of courting is to be involved romantically, typically with the intention of marrying. And then the definition for dating is a stage of romantic relationships whereby two people meet socially with the aim to assess other suitability before going to the stage of really courting. So,
okay. So dating is the pre-courting playground.
Right. So before you even think about going to courting, you're dating around and say, I don't even know if we're going to even do this. So you're going on dates to see if you even like the person for real. And of course, you know, people use that to, you know, casual sex or whatnot. But to really assess if that person's even a prospective to go to be serious to go to courting. So.
Right. And I think dating is a Western thought process, of Western philosophy, a Western moray. I think dating is because if we go back in time, we go back to ancient days in any culture, the women that were prospective wives really didn't spend time with their husbands. You know, marriages were arranged and there was no dating courting. It was families coming together to solidify strength and power and economic status, and they would marry off their husband, their sons to these daughter families to strengthen their family. And they wouldn't get to know each other, but they would be considered betrothed to each other, already married in the mind, especially in the Bible. Betrothed, always married in the mindset or the psychological or the culture set. And they would get to know each other for sometimes a short period of time, sometimes a long period of time, but they would spend little time together unchaperoned. So sex was not an option. You know what I'm saying? They could come around each other. They could be around each other, but they were monitored so that sex opportunity would never afford itself or could not afford itself. But were there times where it did? Of course it is. That we're not, but we're talking about in a sense of time then, time now. Whereas this time of dating. Now, what I will say is because of the patriarchal world that we live in, and we still do, no matter what, we see in improvements in women, you know, socially, politically, economically, and educationally. Who does dating really help? Who does dating really put forth? Who does dating really give an advantage to? We talk about cuffing season. Dating without commitment, where sex can occur, what? That's the perfect playground for the shark. So why would man invent over time this thing called dating? Now think about the word dating. Time with that now we can do everything in a marriage that we can convince each other it's okay. With sex being at the top of the list or the primary goal. Dating without commitment. Because if I go from dating into courting puts us in the patrol thing of I've dated, I've decided, and I'm going to pursue marriage. But our society in America and Western world, date as much as you want, because that's how you find who you're going to court. Well, we know that has turned out to be not the optimum way, unsupervised dating, because a lot of things happen. What happens under supervised dating? Sex occurs. Aborted children, unwanted children, children born in the world whose father may have decided, even though you have a child, I don't want to court this woman. Okay. And vice versa. You know what I'm saying? Women who get pregnant, who don't want to be that guy to be their daddy, their kid's father for whatever reason, and decide abortion, get a child away, unwanted children. Okay. Have been a fallout from the dating. Okay. So I think what we are looking at as far as a problem is the way it's designed to satisfy the flesh of men and women who think like men. And we never get to true courting. And on some levels, it's good because also in that dating phase, you can make decisions not to court, go any further. But again, like we always say, like we always have said during this time, once you get sex involved, it changes. Now, you know, I would tell somebody, you can date. You know, I'll tell young ladies, I'm going to go from the man's perspective. You can date a lot of men. Just don't have sex with them. There's nothing wrong with you deciding to let men take you out and take you to the movies and take you to eat. And I pray that that's building your value in your mind, that you're valuable. Because you remember, you only devalued in the patriarchal society if you start having sex with multiple men, not just seeing men. You actually become valuable when you don't have sex with the man and you might be seeing some other men, because that man would wonder, well, she ain't having sex with none of them, but these men are really chasing after her. What? Maybe I'll be the one. You know what I'm saying? And then when he can't get it, yeah, you got the ones that'll move on because the pool is so large of men, women who think like men, that will go ahead and do all of that. But then you still a gem set aside that in the patriarchal society is worth pursuing. Because we talked about this earlier, that no matter what society that you're in, the folklore, the religion, the virgin from Islam to Christianity to Hindu, South America to China to the West Indies, the virgin is the one who's valued the most. as a person who is worthy of marriage and commitment. The other word we have for women who that men want to have sex with, and what do we call them? Concubines, hoes, whores, the ones who get paid. Every society, no matter where they're at, promiscuous women, harlot, all the labels are put on the woman, right? But right. Not on the man. You never hear a man be called, you'll never hear a man be called a harlot. And whoremonger is almost a badge of honor.
And a gigolo is the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we, this dating thing, again, let's analyze it. Even though me and you both have grew up in it, participated, because we're in the Western culture. And when I look back, do I think arranged marriages are optimum? No, I don't, you know. But think about it. The consummation of marriage back in the day of most cultures is that first time having sex, okay? In the Jewish tradition, the sheets will become stained, and they would hang the sheet out to show that the marriage had been consummated, okay? And that was something to look forward to. But, you know, to today's society, sheets are staining, but there's no commitment. All right. So what do you think? What do you think of my synopsis?
Well, you know, I have a gazillion thoughts on this. I'm glad we're talking about it. We're going to be talking for a minute. It's just like, because we're in a patriarchal society and some of the women think they can do what men can do, sometimes it's baffling as to what we, as Christians, I'll just say Christian, not in the secular, but as Christian women, do we take this stance that we should go out and date to see what we prefer, or we're not supposed to? Or would it be rather just to just sit back on the sidelines and so-called wait for God to bring someone and not actively get involved because, you know, God knows it all? Or which line of thinking should women be running on?
Well, I think we should have a balanced thought of this. I don't think one versus the other. I know some people teach that women, get yourself prepared. Of course, get yourself prepared. Do all you need to do. Get your education. Do. Whatever you need to do, whatever you feel like doing, you have a choice. And Christian, Jesus, blood bought, died for you. You have choices. Okay. What we want to do is make better choices, because we choices. We go back to seed theory. Okay. Well, that's even not theory. It's a fact. The choices you make are seeds, and they'll grow up to be something. Okay. Now you have to remember, it's growing up in adverse society, meaning you can still make the right choice and have the adverse effect of the world come up against it. Right. So what you're talking about on one end is the woman who makes the choice to do what she need to do and wait, and that's adversely going against what society says, and she has the possibility of end up being alone. And she made the right choices. Again, balance it out, where you're from, who the people you hang around. Again, I don't see a problem with a woman having relationships, and I'm talking about clean relationships with the opposite sex, to learn. Now we talked about the fact of the balance, okay? The balance of socialization plus your religious, your godly convictions, okay? One person's conviction may not be the same as the next person, okay? As long as it doesn't bother your conscience, you know, and it's not word sin, you know? We're not playing the Bill Clinton thing, okay? We're not doing that one, all right? But we're talking about serious women who are really in this situation, and men, you know, that are in this situation trying to navigate, and you got to figure this out, but you need help. And then let's go, now we go to the layer back. Everybody's confused. So then let's go back to why we're confused. Now, this is what we talked about. There's an informational gap about relationships that from my generation to your generation, because there's a lot of parents in my generation that, and not all, but you can see it. Whereas I think in my generation, that's when we started doing the on a larger scale, teenage parents. okay, who might have grew up in relationships in their household, where their mother and father still together, where nobody's ever taught the daughter or the son how to have relationships. They had to look at, and most of the time we emulate in relationships, we haven't been taught. We emulate what we've seen. And if we've grown up in a dysfunctional household when it comes to the relationship between the father and the mother, until we get a point of choice and reference, we would tend to emulate that, thinking that's normal because we made it. You know, the promiscuous mother produces promiscuous sons and daughters. It's not that these children has decided that it's okay. You know, it's not that bad until they do it twice as often or twice as much. And instead of having one child out of wedlock with a guy you don't want, which is produce them, that girl, that guy go out and have a whole bunch of seeds. You know, but then again, there's choices because you can have a guy who grows up in a decent household where you see loving parents, and the guy makes the decision to go out and have all these babies all over the place too. I mean, that's a real example. Example I'm talking about. Whereas the confusion is, how did you end up being like that when you wasn't exposed to that? Well, maybe it's because of the friends he hang around. It's so many different stimuli that come into a person's decision-making process. Historical, financial, social, political, spiritual, that even though me and you see the same, grew up in the same household, we come to different conclusions as far as our own relationships. And then we throw in the evil empire of the internet. Because we talked about the dating. Remember, what you talked about was the fact that as far as dating is concerned, it was easier for you when you were younger to meet different guys. So kind of go into that so I can comment on that. You said it was easier for my generation than your generation. But when you were younger, it was easier.
And I think maybe, because it's still youthful at my age, but like before COVID, right, all of this. So as a young, youthful person, being able to go around to like a lot of different areas and not really, I could be picked up anywhere. You know, it was very easy anywhere. And I used to be in my 20s, I would be in the clubs, not just all the time, but certain times I would go. And then there'd be times I might go, you know, just to Walgreens, get picked up in a place. And when I was living in Illinois, go to a Snooks. Anywhere I went down the aisle, there was a man, heads turning, and then they find me and they're coming to follow me around. And can I get your number? In the mall, right by my parents, just just bold. Can I get your number? In the mall. So it's almost like since that time till now, the boldness of the men that used to do those things is, I don't see it anymore. You understand? So I'm not sure if because of COVID or they just not that way, but they would be bold. They come up to you. Right. They wouldn't have to just hide and look at you like, yeah, you could. I'm just going to keep it moving. Right. So I'm not sure what the dynamic of that is. So I don't know.
Let's look at it. Today you go up to a woman and say some of the things these men would say to you boldly. You might get arrested.
True, right? Me Too movement, right?
Yeah, you might get arrested. just for saying, hey, baby. And next thing you know, you walk outside, the police arresting you because some woman said you harassed them. Okay? Mm-hmm. This Me Too on steroids that takes away from the real Me Too that's needed. Okay?
Exactly.
So so I don't sit here before y'all get to saying, Tanika, no, I'm all for... let's say justice for the woman who's taken advantage of. Tanika, will you vouch for that?
Before, of course I will.
Before somebody sits here and say, well, he's the Me Too. No, I'm for the Me Too that's right. And I'm for taking
the ones that are real.
And the wrongs that are real. And I'm a defender of that. But there are some that are questionable, shaky, and all of that other stuff. But let's not go down that rabbit hole. So I think that when we talk about this, you know, availability, the internet has helped them not have to be there. in front of your face. Now, think about what you've been telling us about the chat lines. They're bold on the chat lines, aren't they? So the psychological thing of them being bold has not been taken away. It's just moved from face to face and the rejection that they might get. Because sometimes men get, you know, some of the men that came after you, you rejected them. Because you didn't, that they wasn't your type, even though you might have been their type. So nobody likes to be rejected, especially face to face. So internet has offered the opportunity for, again, like we talked about it, you be Batman, Superman, Aquaman. You could be the whole Justice League as a man to a woman. And as a woman to a man, you could be anything. Any woman that you think that the men you want, even though you're not it, because it's all clicks and typing, and you have fake pictures, all of that, aliases, all of that. So now you got this arena of dating called not social dating like we had growing up, but this new arena that's a caveat from dating because it's not courting. Now the hookups can begin over there. And what is the general nature of the hookup? Even though somebody said they're looking for a good woman, what is the general nature of it, Tanika? To have sex.
Yep, always.
You know, to have sex. I don't care if you own a Christian one. You know, you get on the ethnic one, the one that black people, you can get on the age-related one for the 40 and over people. You can get on the a religious one, but these are the same people. They might be on all three trying to get a hookup. And there are some trying to truly find somebody to court. But look how much you got to go through in conversation to get to that point of finding the person that wants to court. You know, in my personal synopsis of that. I know of three, or maybe four people who have did the dating thing to marriage from the internet.
Uh-huh.
And out of those four, three of them are divorced within a year. So as far as in my sphere, that hasn't been a good turnover into making it past the year. And then I do have one couple that I know that's now met that way, dated for 3 to 4 years, and then got married. And now they're going on their third year of marriage, I think. You see what I'm saying? See, the key still is that they met on that, and then they took their time after that. And that's what we kept telling people. You know, I don't know what the number, it's not a magic number, it's not cookie cutter, but you got to take the time.
Uh-huh.
You got to take the time. Because you don't know this person from the can of paint. This ain't somebody you grew up with. This is not the person you grew up with. This is a total stranger that you're letting get close to you. And you met them in January, and you talking about marrying them in June? You don't know them. Especially if they are adult. All right. I'm talking about, you know, 35 and up. You don't know them.
Uh-huh.
They have a whole 40 some years of life that you need to catch up on and decide what you will compromise on, what you will not. And the same when they deal with you. Cause even you were saying that for gathering information, you left some stuff out of your profile that you would tell them later as you talk to them. And so, so the question is, you know, why would somebody do that? Well, they may be figuring if I say this, I'm attracting the wrong person. Cause even you said, if you put in certain things about yourself, you tend to get the guys who look at you as for pity. You know what I'm saying? Easy prey.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, so how do we get around those who look at women as easy prey in this vast pool of dating on the internet? You know, we can't even get to meeting the guy at the coffee house no more. Meeting, because like you say, due to COVID, now that opportunity has shrunk Because first thing, you can't see a smile. Everything is behind a mask.
Uh-huh.
So all you see is eyes. You know.
Yep.
And with social distancing, depending on your vision level, you might not see them. You know. It's kind of funny when I have limited sight and people used to say, you know, you see that person winking at you? I said, nope. And you know, that's a good thing in a way, because I'm staying whatever I'm in, I'm focused on what I'm doing, not on that person across the room sending signals.
Right. You that know, you're not picking up on.
Because I can't see them. Yeah. And then they'll, you know, sometimes they'll, didn't you see me? I say, nope. But again,
I'm not looking.
Yeah. So with the mask and everything else, man, that you know, that thing where you're going to run into somebody in schnooks, man, that's like, and I'm going to use this word, that's like a unicorn. You know, and I mean that in the classic sense. A unicorn. Okay. So you done taught me these terms. I got to be careful, you know, but yeah, it, you know, it's hard. So the dating, again, I don't have a perfect answer, but I will say, again, from a man's perspective, and this is my perspective and what I see men say and do, is that this thing of dating is really set up for them to sow their wild oats. And then out of that pool, maybe pick someone, but the woman they gonna marry, if they had a great mother or a good mother, will be, and how he looks at his mom, will be that woman. And that woman may not even be in that pool.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm gonna say this for those, this, because we do real talk. We see in scripture, concubine, wife. In Western society, the word is not concubine. The word is whole wife. And we've all heard the saying, if you offended, get your children away. But listen and be honest with yourself. When you're labeled the whole and you are here enjoying yourself, trust me, when the men label you that, you might have been taken out of wife category in that circle of men, and you need to remove yourself from those men and you can start afresh. Okay? And women, don't let your egos knock you out the park. Meaning, if he tell you, we talked about this, if he tell you that he had sex with 900 women, don't you come back trying to up him talking about I had sex with 903. Because if you do, you may have knocked yourself out of wife running. And is it fair? No. So you got to use some common sense. You got to use some wisdom. You don't need to tell him about what you've done. And again, because you don't know the nuance in which he's matured into. For instance, there's a friend of mine who had run into women, and he's older. And these women go on this thing of when they trying to date, be with him, what they haven't done. And he can tell by what they do participate in, they have some experience, okay? Mm-hmm. So what their level of performance is different from their level of admission. So he has to tell them, because he's mature and a nuanced man, and a man of thought, and a man of time, and a man of maturity. He says, at our age, you don't need to hide that from me. Because it's obvious we both have experience. So he looks at it as, I get to finally enjoy all that you've been through that you know how to do. You see what I'm saying? So he say he's understanding. That doesn't bring novelty to this at my age, and I got to sit and train somebody. You know what to do. You know how to do it. And that came from your experiences, but I'm not going to hold them against you. So then she began to get even more comfortable in expressing herself. But what she don't need to do is, now that he done said that, don't start rattling off all the men you done slept with.
Uh-huh.
Just accept what he said, take a deep breath, and go about your business. that he accepts that, and he, but he doesn't want to hear that no more than you want to hear how many women he done slept with. Right? You don't want to hear about how no man slept with a whole bunch of women, do you?
Nope.
Okay then. So we have this, we learn how to navigate this. And again, it's tough. You know, because sometimes when you talk to you like, okay, you tell me the formula. There isn't, because it's so individualistic how you navigate this. And at some age, ladies, you need to look for maturity in a man. You know, what's good for you now, what may not have been good for you back then, but you lived a little life now, and you need a little bit more substance in a man, and stability in a man, and some nuanced thought in a man. And if this man is a real thinker, I would tell women, you're grabbing on these guys who don't have thoughts beyond the second. And you know it. And what happens is, because you are a thinker, you figure you can dominate. We were talking about this thing the minute ago, these women talking to other women, talking about these men who are scared of them. No, even though you may be smarter than them, you make more money than them, and you got more going on in them, they're not scared of you. Because how many stories of these alpha women end up with these beta men, and these beta men somehow still are men, and they use them anyway. See, they got that one edge. They still men. They might be beta, but they still men. And in the end, they gonna win. Because guess what? You're going to give them the best part of you. No matter how much money you got, no matter what your educational level, the best part of you is what God has given you. And once you give that away to him, whether you kick him out, torture him, all that, guess what? He still walk away with what he done got, right? Which was you. So what do you think, T?
I think it sucks.
And see, one thing, hold on. One thing before I let you this up. One thing we talk about. It's harder for you to hear this at your age than it would have been if you got this education at 20 something.
Possibly so. I mean,
you'd have kicked against it at 20 something, but you'd have got the seed would have been planted.
Right. And just like you said, the age gap of being taught, men and women, because you see the generation gap. And you hear when people say, and you hear that running theme, there are no good men out there. There are no good women out there. It's almost like they're there. However, the way things move, you'd have to slow yourself down in order to sit down and see one. And sometimes when there's one in front of you, you're not going to see it. It's like you're looking at a unicorn, but you see a horse. So you was like, do you see?
you see Mr. Ed.
Right, you're not paying attention that you have the very thing that you're looking for right in front of you, but because you think you're looking for something else, you don't see it. And then you hear these people, well, what kind of man are you looking? What's your type? What's your type of woman? What is your type? I don't know if people have a type. It's your preference, what you prefer. I would prefer a 6'7" hunk of a man, but am I going to get that? Possibly not. Not a lot of 6'7" men running around just everywhere. Those are rarities too. So, I mean, having to be realistic about what you will get out here in this world is probably where people gotta land, you know?
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna go to another saying that I believe is true, that men and women need to, because we live in this fantasy world of the internet, because we live in the fantasy world of movies, because we live in the fantasy world of TV, and talk show, mm-hmm. and reality shows, bring your ears close to the sound that I'm about to say that coming out of my mouth. Get close. I'm gonna let you in on secret. Don't tell nobody else. What you looking for ain't looking for you. And if you looking for something that ain't looking for you, you'll never find it. See, what Tanika just said is 6'7", da, 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 da. You know, this is where Kevin Samuels is telling the truth. Is what you looking for you? Now go on the other side of that equation. Do you think what you believe is your fantasy man is looking for you when you're not the fantasy woman he looking for? You know, I'm saying this, and I'm gonna say this both ways. You said that you the princess and you get Mr. Ed. Okay, let's reverse this. He's the prince, and he gets the Wicked Witch of the West. You see what I'm saying? Prince look for princesses. Real ones. But if you think you're a princess, and you actually the Wicked Witch of the West, you know, I don't want to say no names because that these real people names, but not real people. But yeah, what's one of them, what's that lady the comedian play?
Cruella.
Yeah, but whatever. You know, one of them women, them black comedians dressed up like on Martin. What was her name?
Rasputia.
Yeah, Rasputia. Yeah, you get a Rasputia.
There's that one.
You get a Rasputia. That's when you run into trouble. Because what you Rasputia looking for the prince, but the prince looking at her like, mm-mm. And I don't mean looking at her just her physical, I'm talking about her talk, her language, her persona, and he's not looking for her. But then it's hard for some men and women, because we got, and I want to say this, you can't get past, you looking for 6'7" is external. But 6'7" can be the person that end up putting you in your grave.
Uh-huh.
You know, cute, long hair, whatever you describe as your princess, may be the one who puts you in your grave.
Uh-huh.
So we got to get past, as we get older and mature, we learn that what I just said and now start looking for eternal qualities.
Right.
And that's why I'm saying, let's start looking. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with looking for your physical. But start leaning as time go on that you're single towards those internal things, that qualities that could get you past that. If, you know, gravitate to somebody who really thinks you a great person, that really likes who you are. You know, because that person is really to deal with you. But that person come in trying to change you into their family. You know, then we got, you know, you got the men who get the woman who's the Rasputia and wants to change her into Pam Grier. And now you out here running around, you jumping around, and you wondering, well, you got me when I was such and such and such and such. And now and he's not trying to change you for your health. He's believing that he can make you into what he wants to make you. And the same thing with a woman. I'm going to make you into a man, a thinking man. I'm going to make you into a responsible man. And it's more, with men, it's more of, with women and men, it's more of a mental responsibility thing. I'm responsible, so I'm going to turn you into a responsible man. And knowing that, Tanika, does that ever really work?
Never.
Never. See, never. That's what I'm saying. He's still a man. He's still a child. He's still responsible. And you think, because you high power got it going on, that you're going to educate and bring this man up into manhood. No. If a man makes it to 35, 40, what did the man tell you? He was 48 years old. He still got to get it together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If he 40-something and still got to get it. 47 years old and he still got to get it together. He ain't going to get it together.
Mm-hmm.
Saying I got to versus I'm getting it or I'm there, that's a red flag. But if you think, oh, your ego kicks in and you say, oh, well, I got it, so I can teach him. Mm-hmm. And my question to you a year from now, how did that work out? Instead of you having one job, you got two jobs. You remember when you used to have money in the bank and you have nothing in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You marry him and you got to hide your bank accounts. Because any extra money, because he still have a child, he'll go and run it up and take it. You follow what I'm saying? So
I do. So, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So what you gonna do? And it sucks. Now, I agree with you. It sucks. You know, we can't even get to the courting, what courting should be like, because we got to really deal with this dating side that is now. The only thing that slowed it down but then increased the other pool is COVID. COVID decreased the encounters in the street in your geographical location, but man, everybody has ran to the internet.
True.
And the chat line.
And you know, but when you talk about that, the other side is, you can't even, like you just said, you can't even get to the dating part. Forget courting. Sometimes you can't even make it to dating because you can't even make it to meeting. You know, sometimes you don't get past the profile of the dating website or the chat line profile. They're never going to meet you in person. Sometimes it's just they stay in behind the internet or texting or on the phone. And that's about you. You never get to a coffee house. That's a rarity, what I did. Right. Sometimes they never want to come from behind those phones or off of those profiles to meet in order to date. You don't even get to that point.
Right. Right. And I think about this. And I just thought about something you just said. You never get to that point of a meeting. So I'm going to ask you a question because, you know, I told you, I don't know nothing about a chat line. Anything I learned about that, you taught me. Okay. and that's not a brag thing. I just never did it, never thought about it. But the dynamic on how it works. Tell me how that works. Okay, men, I mean the dynamic of the how it works, the protocol. Men do what? Okay, I'm a man. I want to sign up for the chat line. XYZ, we ain't gonna get no names because we ain't gonna put nobody out here no chat line, say they bad or nothing. ABC chat line, as a man, I go on the internet first to sign up for it, right?
Not for the chat line.
Okay, no. For the chat line, there's a phone number I call. Go ahead, break it down.
Okay, so chat line, AB, we'll go with your name. ABC chat line has an ABC number. You call ABC number men. Men have a free trial. ABC number gives them a trial for 30 minutes to try it out, see if they like it. They try it, they buy. Because this is where all the women are.
Stop. You go fast. What do you say you try, you buy, you call this number. And when I call the number that I get the free trial, what am I getting access to? What am I getting? Am I listening to a conversation from a woman, a recording from women? I got 30 minute free trial. So what am I getting in my 30 minutes? What am I hearing for my 30 minutes?
So for your access for 30 minutes, you get to hear profiles of the women, but you also get to interact with them for the 30 minutes that you're there. So say you found someone on ABC chat line. They give you a number that says, okay, you call, you hear a profile, you hear someone, hey, la la la, it's me. Then you select one on ABC chat line. You connect right then. You talk to the person. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, how are you? Where are you from? I'm in Texas. Oh, where are you from? I'm in St. Louis. You all start talking to you. You make this work. Then you figure out that man or woman, they figure out if they want to take this off of ABC line and have personal numbers so the man can keep his free trial to see if he can grab some more women. Wow. To get some more numbers. And so when the 30 minutes is up, he will either have to pay for the membership or grab as many women as he can get and have all the pools and numbers, and he can just rock with those unless he decides to pay to have a longer interaction with these women and then also take them once again off so he can have his way with them on a personal cell phone number.
Okay,
so that's how you do the ABC chat line.
So in other words, his goal is to get off his time clock. Now, what do you know, like, what's the average in your mind? What is the man paying per? Is he paying per minute? Is he paying per month? What is he paying? Is there like, give me $200 a month, you have unlimited access to as many, you know, as much as you want to be on there? Or is it like old fashioned 1970, you know, phone rates?
Well, I think it's minutes, but I think they have plans. Because since I'm not a man, I don't get to know what ABC chat line plans are. Uh-huh. But there's a membership plan that you have to pay for. So I'm not really sure how many minutes you get before you have to keep renewing it on the ABC chat line. But they do have to pay for a certain amount of time. And then that time runs up, they will have to pay again until they find what they're looking for.
Okay, so he's actually paying the fish for the women after the fact. Because the women get on for free, right?
ABC Fish Market.
Right. So whoever's in the ABC's pool, the fish that's in the ABC pool of women. Now, do the women have to pay?
No.
Oh, so the attraction for the women is you just come on here and be available.
Right.
And you design a profile.
That's what attracts, yeah.
And you design a profile to attract the man you want.
Right. So on the ABC chat line, their deal is they know the men are going paid to hear the women. The women is a free bait. This is the bait for them. And they are their own monetary shark for the men. Y'all pay because y'all want to hear the women. Pay us. You get the access to the women.
And for the women, you don't have to pay. You have access to all these men who are interested in you because they're willing to pay.
Because they are the bait bringing in the men.
Now think about this. And hold on. Instead of paying you, they're paying the service to get in touch with you.
Right.
I hope you people
But listening. If they were to pay you, yeah, because they also have the call girls on ABC line.
Yeah, yeah.
If they were to pay them, then you like, I don't want no call girl. But see, they're not going to pay the call girl. They're going to pay the service.
So now you get off the line. You like what you've heard on the line and you're still anonymous and you decide to give each other your phone numbers. So that's when the possible meeting takes place. If you
Absolutely.
Go further. But there's experiences whereas as you begin to talk to the people longer, you find out that they got a wash list of questions and then you don't answer enough questions right, they'll just hang up the phone, like click.
Yep.
Not even goodbye.
Or disappear. I mean, you never know what you're going to get on the ABC chat lines. I mean, it's the same thing with the dating profiles. The only thing I would say that I have not tried and I probably will not try is the matchmakers that cost a lot because they are expensive. And there's one that I won't give a name for, but it costs $5,900 for them to match you up with someone for 3 months. That's their fee.
Wow.
Like, what? So if you want to get away from the eHarmonies, sorry I mentioned them, right. But if you want to get away from those dating websites or those chat lines, you could go to the major elite ones that will really put in the expertise to find you what you're looking for, but it's really going to cost you. It's not going to be no $49.99 or $99.99 a month. You're going to pay some heavy-duty prices. Yeah.
So you have not only the algorithm that will first align you, but then you have an actual person analyzing your profile.
And they will be analyzing you.
Right.
Yeah. Like it's a relationship matchmaker, real person that deals with you to figure out what it is you want. So
right. You might get a phone call and they sit and talk to you. So it goes past your profile so they can type in and all that stuff. Okay. So with this dating, it becomes quite nebulous. I mean, it's everywhere. Again, it's so much to navigate.
It is. That's why people.
And it's anti-fan. Yeah. And think about this. Let's be honest. We're Christians. This is all the world system, and it's anti-family. As much as we say it's supposed to get you family, what is it really producing? A whole bunch of people who out here searching for love and sex in the same pool, mixed with the people who really want to be with somebody and get married and have families. Mm-hmm. And they just get swallowed up in the genre of this internet dating stuff. They get swallowed up.
Yeah, that's a big win because,
they get swallowed up. They get swallowed up. They're not strong enough to withstand the tide of the world and their pressures. Because then what ends up happening.
Yeah, but that's,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Pastor.
Because then what's happening is you have the person who just checks out of it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't handle the moving parts, too many moving parts. And they just check out altogether. And that's sad because now they end up being alone.
Right. And that to your point, that's not of their own choice, really. That's just what culture has done.
Yeah.
So if they check out and they're alone, it's not alone because they want something. It's almost like alone by design almost because of all of these. Like you said, the moving parts are so many. Well, where am I supposed to go? Am I supposed to go on a chat line? Am I supposed to go dating? Am I supposed to go out in public and go sit down? And how am I supposed to do this? Because before we would hear, well, I know a friend of a friend of a friend, and you guys might be good together. But now that doesn't even happen as much because people aren't really socializing like that. Yeah. And you're not want to do that. So, you know, quarantining and isolation, all this stuff that we're in now, that also like hampers, it doesn't stop it, but it kind of hampers things, you know?
And we're going through in church. And church is not necessarily because it's church the safest place either.
True. Like people will always say, if you want to go find a good looking person, or not a good looking person, but if you want to find a person of moral character, you want to go to church.
Not necessarily.
It's just like, well,
no, they got sharks inside of church. And hold on. Yeah. And you may be, your pastor may be a shark in disguise trying to patrol you through his baby sharks. Okay. So don't assume that, you know, don't let your pastor get into your head that takes your common sense away. That tells you that you see that person short because he done showed you his teeth and he tell you he a guppy. Don't fall for that one. Okay, that has happened several times. You know, oh, he showed me his teeth. He must be a shark. No, the Lord told me he's a sweetie pie. Okay, your common sense done, when your spidey sense done tingled and you go against it. Yeah, because your pastor, you better quit doing that. You know, God gave you common sense.
Yeah.
God gave you common sense and street sense for a reason. You done been through life for a reason. Don't relinquish your mind to your pastor. Okay? Because your pastor may have ulterior motives. So this is not a condemnation of pastors. I'm just telling you, anybody over you in leadership, be careful of relinquishing. Never relinquish your mind to anybody. Okay? In the name of Jesus. Okay? Jesus didn't require that. All right, so just throw that out there. But yeah, this thing is really, really interesting because it's just all over the place. I mean, the more we've talked about, the more questions I got. We didn't solve anything today. other than it's crazy. It's crazy out here. You know,
I think that's why we're going to be on it for a while, because when you and I discuss these things, is you can hear so much, not just with what we know of our personal experience. You hear it so much on the internet and a lot of people talking about, well, how you do it and this experience here. And you just hear all these different things. And we talk about all the different YouTubers that are talking about, and it's just bogged down with how to. And you have these people that say, well, I'm in a dating relationship. You got to do this and you got to do this. I'm like, but that's not working for me. Well, you didn't do it right. You know, it's just like, what?
Right. You know, you didn't have enough, you know, you didn't have enough faith in it or whatever, you know.
Exactly.
And again, this is all the world system and it's anti-family, because imagine how many good men and women decide to opt out altogether because it's such a cesspool. You know, people that we believe that are good that decide, you know what, I'm just going to bow out. So when that young person decides that at 30 to bow out of this cesspool, or 40 decides to bow out of this cesspool, and if you think about it, they're in their reproductive time frame, that means the genetics from that person that would be great for the society in the future. Think about this, we talk about abortion, but how many men and women have got out of the game or swallowed up by that game and never end up fostering a good relationship, never end up fostering children they love, and now created, you know, situations and very toxic relationships out of playing the dating game. Fathers not taking care of their kids, mothers not wanting their kids, but mothers having to put up and tolerate their kids and really don't want them.
Right.
You know, so end up abusing them because the father left them, and they don't know why they're being abused, but every time they look at Johnny or Susie, they remind me of your daddy. Then the daddy don't want to be around him, don't want to claim him, go start another family. Go marry the one he wants to marry. And leave you with all these kids. And all could be one. And that's one too many that he's not taking care of. You know, so this, oh my gosh, it's. And again, if you guys are looking for us, it says Monday Morning Conversations, not answers to all your questions. If there's something that we did not cover, since we're going to be on this while, please email us, text us. I think Tanika has our emails in the description box, or if you go to my channel later for the rebroadcast, you'll see ways to get in touch with us. Email us. Don't send me anything on Messenger. I get too many Messenger messages. I don't look at them. Okay. And unless I know you, don't waste your time sending me something on Facebook Messenger, because I get too many messages and even on WhatsApp. Unless I know you, if I happen to go over there, you do better. If you want me to respond, email me. Okay. Email me. Don't even send me something on WhatsApp. Just email me. You know, I need a whole department. Hold on. Got on WhatsApp, but I got too many messages on WhatsApp. You know.
You need somebody to handle that.
Yeah, I need to handle that. The messenger, I need somebody to handle that. I don't have enough time in the day to handle all the messages I get. But if you got any questions regarding this, Tanika got her email. I got my email. I'm going to say mine is Sutton, my last name, Sutton, Sutton968@gmail.com. Make sure you put in the subject matter cuffing so it'll catch my attention, because I get a lot of emails. I mean, I swipe left. I don't even open some email. I can see it the title. Ooh, swipe left, swipe left, swipe left. You know, swipe them off. So that's mine. And Tanika, what's your email? So if they want to get in touch with you with some questions.
Well, mine is ggthw, the number 18, at gmail.com.
And if you like to be a guest, we can figure out a way to work around and get you on so you can talk. If you want to call our WhatsApps both and leave messages with questions, do so. But then email us and let us know it's over there, and we may can play your question or your comment on the show. So, you know, we want your interaction. You know, again, this is 2023. We want to reach out. And
22.
I don't know why I keep saying 22. I knew I said it in a couple of my stuff. 23. I don't know. Maybe my mind is already in. I guess because I've been telling people, I believe that the normalcy of what we're going to really become as a nation due to this virus will be really in 2023. You know what I'm saying? We're still trying to find our way. I think the beginning of the normalcy, whatever that is, will be revealed in 2023. You know? So, you know, that's my, not the Holy Spirit. That's my thinking based upon some things that I've learned. And it may change. It may be 2024. You know, I don't know. But right now, 2023 is what I'm looking forward to. So, with that, again, I am sorry if we confused you any more. Yeah, because I'm confused. But I hope that you enjoyed our conversation, because we had these conversations offline, and they tend to be a little deeper offline. But we try to bring it to you guys to give you something to think about. We want you thinking, especially saved folk. Robbie Zacharias used to say, I want to get saved people thinking and thinking people saved. You know, that's a good saying. In spite of what he's done, that was a good saying. We want to get saints thinking again. You don't take the best part of your mind and sit on it, especially when it comes to this dating thing. Okay? You need to be wise as serpents when it comes to this dating thing, because too much is going on out here. And you're giving people access to you, who you are, and you don't even know them. You know, like you say, there is no recommendation from friends anymore or family members. It's just, I'm on this pool. I'm in this ocean of people. And will I get picked up by a shark, or will I get picked up by a good guy? And do you want to take the time to figure this out? So, Tanika, I'm done. Do we have anything going on? Yeah, we got some coming up real soon.
Yes.
What we got going on?
Yes, so I'm So, Pastor J.T. Drake and friends, your club starts this Friday, and that is 9 p.m. PST, 11 p.m. CST, and midnight EST on Clubhouse. So that will be the first going back on the club for some of us that haven't been there. And then Podcast Connect Network, we will be back for our first new year going back on the 8th, which is Saturday at a regular time, 4 p.m. PST, 6 p.m. CST, and then 7 p.m. EST. And we'll be taking this conversation from here and probably the two other conversations we had on the other Mondays also when we were talking about some other things as well, we bring those along with this courting versus dating for the other times we weren't on for the two holidays that we were not there. So you will see us both on Clubhouse for those two times. If you can make it, please do come on Clubhouse and participate in the conversation, and you can have dialogue with us there.
Yeah, and I just want to say publicly, I want to say rest in peace, Brother Steve. You had an impact on my life, and my life has changed for the better for knowing you. This young man that was what I was teaching the Word of God that I led to Christ. He passed during this time, and I just, every time I think about it, I just want to tell him I'll stay on mission because of you, and I love you and I miss you, but I understand, and I know where you at, and I'll see you soon. And soon don't mean time. Soon mean that's the next part of my agenda of my life. I may live to be 1,000 years old, but the next thing would be to cross over. And like I said, for whatever time I'm left, I think of him and to stay on mission to get people saved, you know. And young man, I love him to death. And Gloria, thank you too, because you introduced me to Stephen. So, all right, T. This is Pastor J of Walk Truth Radio Network. Please check out my YouTube channel, Walk Truth Radio Network, Walk Truth Radio Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I always want you to be encouraged, blessed, and at peace. Remember to walk in the truth of the Lord. And T?
And you guys know it's T. Drake, your podcast and Godmother Connection. Please remember to be blessed, motivated, and always inspired to do what God lays on your heart for 2022 this year. We will see you very soon again. God bless each and every one of you.
Peace.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. If this message has been a blessing to you, consider donating on your favorite platform. You can donate by looking in the description box and picking your favorite platform of choice, Venmo, Cash App, or PayPal. Continue listening. And your prayers are needed, welcomed, and appreciated.